We've got news about Spider-Man 4. We've got news about Pirates Caribbean 6, National Treasure 3, and a Russian console going up against PlayStation and Microsoft. We've got one big episode, ladies and gentlemen. We're also looking at Invincible, latest episode of Invincible, and Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire. But we all know what comes up first.
Welcome to the Light Camera Rant Podcast, your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back for another episode. Happy Easter to everybody. Hope you're having a good long weekend. Mine's weekend's been busy, going to the beach, going on some new tracks and trails to walk the dog to, and lucky enough, if you're watching right now, I am not sunburnt, so absolutely win. For anyone who does know, I'm pasty as anything, and I burn like a bitch, so so I'm really glad I'm not sunburnt. But look, hope everyone's had a great Easter. Not to mention, last week was a big week for us. We had a normal episode come out. We had our review for Immaculate, the Sydney Sweeney movie. And we also did a nice wrap-up on Halo all together with Connor from Who's Got Next Game, which was a lot of fun with him as well. Yeah, yesterday was one of the... Last week was one of the biggest weeks in a long time since doing video that we've been able to pump out three episodes. And as you can tell, I have bags under my eyes. but look, as mentioned, we are going to go into Invincible. We're going to go to Godzilla. But look, first things first, we have to talk about the news. And unfortunately, this episode, I have to start off with not so good news, which has come to a shock to a lot of people, given the timing and the age. But Chance Perdomo, who you have known from Gen V, he was a titular Leonwen and lead cast members. He unfortunately passed away this past weekend due to a motorbike accident at the age of 27. Look, it's not something that I thought I'd wake up to and read. When I woke up in the morning, it was one of the first posts I saw, and I was very shocked by it, because 27, and you know, you've everything you've been in so far has been really good, and The Boys season 4 is coming out later this year that you're meant to appear in, and Gen V season 2 just started filming. So right now with Gen V, it's currently on hold right now. Of course, it should be. Don't know, as recording this, don't know what's going to happen with his character, rewrites, recasting. There is nothing at this stage. But from everyone from here, from the Lights, Camera, Rant family, we would like to say our thoughts and prayers are with his family, his friends, and his pets at this time. It's not how you think this 2024 would go or see in the news, and it's very sad to see. But I do, wish his entire family, our thoughts are with him at this time. Sorry, it's not how I thought I'd start off this episode, to be honest. I had everything planned out, and putting in this little tidbit at the top is not what I thought I would do, but. Look, right now, I know one of the biggest questions about Gen V, there is nothing at the stage. Right now, as far as we know, the last thing he's filmed is where he's seen in The Boys season 4, which is dropping in June this year. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to occur from that into the show. But not how I thought this episode would start. But look, let's move on to something a little bit more happy. At this time, because I know a lot of people will be grieving, but in really good news is the Christopher Nolan train is going very high at the moment. He's, of course, all the awards he's won for Oppenheimer, best actor, best direction. Christopher Nolan will be knighted. It's been announced that he will be knighted by, of course, the British Empire. So he will, once again, it will be Sir Christopher Nolan. He's also his partner and wife. She's also receiving a very special award as well at the same time. So it's a dual knighting, and I forgot what it's called for her as well, but something for her as well at the same time. So Christopher Nolan, in the past 7 months, has gone on an absolute high. So he's dropped Oppenheimer, no pun intended. I know there's probably someone in the comment going, oh, that's not really funny. I'm like, whatever. He's dropped Oppenheimer, the success. Oppenheimer blew up, fantastic film. And then we just had the Oscars 2 weeks ago. All the awards he's won for that, on top of all the awards. And this, it's well-deserved. Christopher Nolan has done so much for film, and these films are so different. Whether you love him or hate him or confused as shit on what's happening, he looks at these films in a completely different way. You look at Inception, you look at Tenet, you look at The Dark Knight, you look at Momentum, if we really want to go straight to the start of how old, and just how he just crafts these films. So congratulations, Christopher Nolan. It's well-deserved that you're going to be knighted. And now it's going to be Sir Christopher Nolan, just like how you'd say Sir Christopher Lee. But yes, that is good for him. Also, now I saw this in the past week, and that's it's nothing really bad. It's kind of just like reconfirmed something that's currently in the works. So Take-Two Interactive has purchased Gearbox. However, the director, the CEO, Rodney, he's still in control of everything. He's still running everything. So don't stress about that. But that has happened. And what's also confirmed from it is a brand new Borderlands game is currently in the works. Whether or not this might be announced properly when the Borderlands movie drops, don't know how that will go. But a new Borderlands game is currently in the works. So whether or not it's going to be Borderlands 4 or something completely different, to me, that's cool. That's exciting. At the same time, how about a new Duke Nukem? Yes, of course, Borderlands is the flagship franchise. It is the money-making train. But Gearbox, where's Duke Nukem? We could really use him right now in this time. You think about it, in a time that is so politically correct in cancer culture, the Duke Nukem game would just fit in so nice. What is the worst that could happen? Not to mention, the voice actor is always up to play the character again. And not to mention, I would love to see a Duke Nukem game built from the ground up, not finished off to the end, get delayed. For anyone who doesn't know, Duke Nukem was one of those titular first-person shooter games, right? They were Doom. Duke Nukem 1, 2, and 3, all the spin-offs. And there was also Duke Nukem Forever. Now, the famous thing about this game is that it did take forever. The game was in active development for 15 years. It went through multiple different gaming engines, about three different developers, and one also developed. The original studio closed down, so the game just took forever to get it off the ground. And when it finally did drop, it, of course, it did come in with its critics about the game. But for all true fans, we all love the game. But you could tell it's gone through so much. So much. And you can still buy it. You can still buy it today on the Xbox store. I actually, not too long ago, I actually went and played it and thought I'd love a new Duke Nukem game. Just one brand new from the ground up. Do it, Gearbox. Take-Two Interactive, if you're listening to this podcast, push them, make it. It should be the first project off the bat after this next Borderlands game is done. So if you would like to see a new Duke Nukem game, let me know. Now, this this is something I was expecting at all to see in my newsfeed, is Mr. Putin, of course, the Russian president, is looking to, has ordered for Russia to make a brand new gaming console that will run on Russian programs and operating software that are in the country. Whether or not this is going to be something that's going to be worldwide access with everything going on at the moment is a different story. However, the reports are saying that he's looking for something that's to be as powerful, as strong as the Xbox and the PlayStation, and to rival them. How? Don't know how you're going to go about that, Mr. Putin, but he's going to try and make them. He's done, apparently, there's a full order. There's going to be in production. There's a date that they want to be announced by. How it's going to look, shape, specs, everything else, there is no word on that. All the fact that he has ordered them and he wants them to be made. My curious thing is that if you're making this, are you looking for like a worldwide release, or are you just going to keep it contained in Russia? And if it does get worldwide release, how many people are going to buy this console with everything going on? I don't think that will be received very well. But yes, gamers, you can see a Russian console coming very soon. And it will be announced, or specs will be coming this year. So that's going to be an interesting kettle of fish, if you will. Okay, this got a surprise in it. This kind of, I don't remember seeing anything about this. I don't remember seeing any little leaks or anything. But in the past week, we had a brand new trailer for a game called Marvel Rivals, which is six people against six people. Of course, it's all Overwatch inspired, as you can see from the gameplay. It looks nuts. It looks clean. It looks good. The character animations and their abilities looks fantastic. Right now, you can sign up for the beta. The only shitty thing that I saw at the end of the trailer that I didn't like, which I know there's a whole section of people for it, is the fact it is only on PC right now. There is no release date for console, but it's only for PC, and you can go on Steam right now and put it on your wish list. But it looks really good, and I'm looking at it going, why was it Marvel's Avengers game like that? Why can't we have nice things like this? Why can't we get a Marvel game that's, you know, so decorated and highly rated, like a Batman Arkham or something on that kind of a level? There is the Marvel Blade game that is coming out soon. We also got the first trailer of the Captain America and Black Panther game the other week, which looked really good. I will admit that looks really good. I will be picking it up, and I will pick up the Marvel video game, but this would be cool if this came to console. I really hope it does. Fingers crossed. But I'd love to know, this surprise game, what did you think of the Marvel's Rivals game? Are you in, or are you just like, nah, it's too much Overwatch? No, thank you, which is fair. So this is something that's been, let me rephrase that. This is something that fans have wanted for a very, very long time. And unfortunately, in between National Treasure 1 and 2, we got the National Treasure TV show, which I'm pretty sure it didn't go too well. I don't think it was like the wow that Disney wanted, but we got that. We didn't get 3. However, Jerry Bruckheimer, who's the producer behind the movies, has said the script is still being worked on right now. So National Treasure 3 is currently still in active development, but there is no release date. There's no nothing like that. It is shitty, the fact that they haven't made this movie already, seeing as the first two did so well, and the gap between 2 and 3 could look really long right now. But it just sucks that this hasn't been announced. And Nicolas Cage has said again and again and again that he's up for it. Let's go. And you have to keep going, or Nicolas Cage is going to look too old to be doing this. He's going to be looking like Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones last year almost. So it just sucks. But look, for any National Treasure fans, I wouldn't hold your breath. But the script is still currently being worked on. Now, another Jerry Bruckheimer production that's currently in the works is Pirates of the Caribbean 6, which he has confirmed that Pirates of the Caribbean 6 will be a reboot. New pirates, new ships, all together, and there is no confirmation of release date, who's starring it. There's been many rumors of what's going to happen. There's rumors that Johnny Depp is back. There's rumors that Emma Stone. No, Margot Robbie is going to be in it. Jenna Ortega is going to be in it. There's been so much about this. And look, I 100% think they do need to reboot the Pirates Caribbean franchise. Here's the tricky thing, is that if they reboot it, if they don't nail it, they're only going to get one, and it's going to bomb. Because you know, when this movie does get announced, the first thing everyone's going to be asking you is, where's Johnny Depp? Where's Johnny Depp? And now, is this a Disney thing, or is this going to be completely different altogether? Which, of course, they've said it will be a complete reboot. but how it's going to look, you know, is anything going to tie into the original movies? What sections are going to be? Are we going to get another Blackbeard? Are we going to get another Davy Jones? Are we going to get, zombie pirates? You know, how is it going to look altogether? And but I want to know, who would you like to see in the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie? Which is it going to be? Timothée Chalamet, Anya Taylor-Joy, Zendaya? Because it seems like they're in every movie right now, I have to admit. I know it's just the season, but it just seems like, yep, them. And then when I saw Godzilla, Kong, I saw a new trailer for Furiosa, which looks insane. But there's Anya Taylor-Joy again. That's not too far off either. It's not too far off. So that's around the corner. But yeah, what do you want to see in Pirates of the Caribbean 6? Now, this is I'm excited for. If it is true, please be true. So the rumors going around right now is Spider-Man 4 will start shooting at the end of this year. It is also also a rumor that Justin Lin from the Fast and Furious franchise will take over the reins from John Watts, who originally did the home trilogy, if you will. He'll be taking over the reins for Spider-Man 4. Now, there's been a lot of debate about Spider-Man 4, whether or not, A, it's, you know, what's going to happen with Tom Holland, B, the struggle between Sony and Marvel, C, is it going to be some big, massive spectacle like Spider-Man No Way Home, or is it going to be back being street level with, you know, Daredevil and Punisher, which I wanted to go back street level. Now, there is also another rumor that I did see about this film is that we will see a lot less Peter Parker in this film altogether because, obviously, everyone's forgot about him, everyone got their memory wiped in Spider-Man 3, is that Peter rather be more Spider-Man than he does Peter Parker, which to me, I think that's a bad idea. I understand with the plot, I understand from going from Spider-Man No Way Home. However, at the same time, I think one of the best aspects of the Spider-Man's character is, of course, the battle between Peter Parker and Spider-Man on him trying to live a normal life and him being Spider-Man at the same time. What's going to happen with MJ? What's going to happen with Ned? What other Marvel heroes are we going to see in this film? We do know it's coming. Will we finally see Miles Morales make his grand MCU debut? Seeing as that we've only got the Miles Morales Spider-Man verse short that we got the other week, and currently right now, as I'm talking, we've got no release date for Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, which is so annoying. So annoying. But look, there's a lot on the table. That could be, we know that Kevin Feige is going to really want to put his heart and soul into this film, which he does with every film. And before you come back at me and going, well, where was the heart and soul for the Marvels? The Marvels was a good film. It's a good film. Why was there not enough male characters? Or where was the other superheroes? Doesn't matter. Marvels was a good film. Was it different? Yes. Was it better than Ant-Man? Yes. Was it better than Thor 2? Yes. So, yes to all of that. So, that's the thing, is that right now, kept with Spider-Man 4, which I don't believe has a release date at all. Marvel does have its untitled release date, but right now Marvel is shifting the course with everything going on because, you know, with everyone who's gone, the Kang Dynasty, the list goes on. However, as I'm talking, Marvel is currently receiving an absolute win right now with X-Men 97. Three episodes have dropped, all absolute bangers, and just on absolute high. I can't believe how good the show has been. Like, you know, I know a lot of people will be like, oh, no, why didn't you think it was going to be good? I was like, look, it's a sequel. It's a sequel season, but technically a new season in the same show. There's obviously a lot, you know, it's a beloved show. When you try and make a sequel to it or bring a new season, there's always a debate to go, no, it's not as good as the last season, or they've changed too much, or something like that. God, that's in my voice, that's how it sounds. People say that all the time, but this is completely reversed. This three episodes, banger after banger after banger. It is winning fans over. Everybody's loving it. I have barely seen any hate comments or any disagreements about the show at all. And it's just so surprising. It's so refreshing to see that. Because, of course, look, compared to the Marvels, compared to Ant-Man. Now, Guardians of the Galaxy was completely clear. All the reviews for that were fantastic. And there was barely any hate comments for it. And obviously with the TV shows right now. And people, as soon as this show ends, people are going to be clamoring for season two, which we want to get until 2025, of course. And as mentioned, the reason we haven't been reviewing in the last few weeks is because we're going to do one massive review with this very, very special guest when that show ends. And yeah, it's just good to see a new generation getting exposed to the X-Men TV show. That's the best version of the X-Men. Because it's funny, you watch the X-Men 97, the original X-Men TV show, and you watch and go, that's right, that's how these characters are meant to be. Not like the X-Men Foxverse are meant to be. Like the best, obviously the best thing for the X-Men Foxverse was Charles Xavier, Magneto, Ian McKellen, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. That was some of the best parts. But you look at characters like Cyclops, which got, you know, pushed the back and died and didn't get much at all. You know, Rogue. You watch X-Men TV, you watch Rogue, you're like, you are completely different to that altogether. You know, we barely got, oh no, we got enough Beast. Now we did get that. I was just trying to think of the original X-Men movies. We didn't get a lot of Beast at all, which, and I'm just trying to, Jubilee, we got a little bit of Jubilee. She made cameos and she got a small part, but that's it. Obviously, her power is a little bit interesting to bring to the big screen, but as you know, right now, the most X-Men we're got, probably the most truest X-Men we're going to get is in Deadpool 3, because you know Ryan Reynolds, you know Hugh Jackman, you've seen the iconic suits, and I will jump for joy if we get Henry Cavill, who's rumored to be in it, as Cyclops in the blue and yellow suit, iconic suit. Like, I don't think anyone will go around, oh, that looks ridiculous, looks shit. I'm like, this looks insane, and that looks mad. It's interesting because it's like the twist in, you know, you watch the old movies, that, you know, they made them more modern and did look more ridiculous. Back then in the early 2000s, they made more modern, not, you know, bright yellow spandex. Yet you turn it around now and it's people like, no, give us the bright yellow spandex. Make it look good. Like Wolverine, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine looks in his iconic yellow suit, looks crisp and looks fantastic. Do you know how it's going to look when he puts the headpiece on? I'm like, but right now it looks really good. So it's interesting how that's all changed. But tell me again, I want to know, come and join our Discord, on Instagram. Let me know, what do you want to see in Spider-Man 4? How do you want it to go? Who do you want to appear? Besides Miles Morales, what other superheroes do you want to see appear in this film? For me, I want to see Daredevil. I want to see them. I want to see Spider-Man and Daredevil. I would love to see him also speak to Punisher. Now, that was the biggest news that's happened in the past week, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's get on to the reviews. Invincible, how are we already at the final episode, second last episode of the season? That's right. This week. Is the season finale. There is only one more episode to go of Invincible, and that's it. Now, this last week's episode wasn't as brutal as the other episodes have been, but still been intense. Now, we see, over this episode, we see Rex get back at it, you know, trying to get back to, you know, fighting after being shot in the head straight across. We see him trying to get back there. We get a good action set piece with him, Invincible. Daryl still struggling with to do with his, you know, his body and everything, and the fact that he's a machine, and we find out he's died 39 times, and he's had his memory erased every single time. So he's done a lot of work. So it looks, it's not the first time. I think he's still reeling in with everything going on. He's like the friendly Terminator that wants to keep helping you all the time, in the sense that he doesn't know, but he doesn't want his memories wiped anymore. That was really good to see. And we also get to see, I'm just trying to think of the name off the top of my head. Invincible also struggled with schoolwork, which we did get to see him in front of the dean. What's more important? You need to figure that out. And he's still struggling. He's still struggling with his relationship, on how he's trying to balance it all. It's so intense. It's, you know, you're watching it just going, you feel for him. And we do get a really cool scene, which I did love at Comic-Con, which was where he gets to meet one of the creators. And he's like, oh, where's season two? And he's like, oh, and people don't realize animation takes a really long time. And he'd like put the hand over their face, you know, pan across shots. And it was just poking fun, which I did love all the comments for this. It was just poking fun at everyone who was pushing about the show, saying, you know, why is it taking so long? Why is this? Why is that? And people were just complaining again and again about it. So I loved, absolutely loved the fact that we got that scene. And I was watching it and my partner's like, what's so funny? I'm like, oh, don't worry. It's more of an inside joke, whether or not you're going to remember it or not. So I really love the scene. Amber gets stuck at the Comic-Con, which my partner could still relate to that, being left at Comic-Con. I've never done that to her, but going to the toilet, something like that, she could relate to that. So we get that fantastic pet and Amber going, struggling, obviously, with the team still. The Gaines are still struggling as well. So everyone's still reeling from the last episode with everything going on and feeling it. And then what we really get, which is one of the most intense parts of the entire episode, is what we see is Invincible out to deal with Amber, and this woman rocks up. And she's a Viltrumite. Her name is Anissa. Anissa, A-N-I-S-S-A. Probably butchered it, but we see her rock up and we see her and she's about to snap Amber's neck straight off unless they go talk, which Invincible does. They go talk. She tries to explain, you know, about the Virtual Empire. Kind of a little bit more reasonable than Greg was on the what's the name planet, saying, you know, enslave the planet or I'm going to kill your father. She was a little bit more reasonable, saying, you know, people die all the time, but we can cure disease, famine, everything. We can make your friends and family live so much longer. We can help. She's being more reasonable, but at the same time, of course, there's a big alien, a bug. It's funny when I was watching this show, like with the Gaines and all these monsters and squid things going to take on the planet thing. Wow, how much people don't seem to, I don't know if it's just obviously, yeah, same thing with every TV show and every superhero TV show. It just seems like no one really mentions the fact, wow, we get attacked a lot. Like there's a lot of monsters, a lot of aliens, a lot of invasions that can happen. And no one seems to question that a lot. So that's a little bit weird to me to see. They're like, okay. There's a cruise ship. There's a giant squid about to consume the entire boat. Of course, everyone's screaming, but it's just a normal day in Invincible World. But you flip that, you look at the MCU, and no one questions the fact that, you know, aliens are involved, people have disappeared, multiple invasions, multiple beams in the sky. No one's questioned that either. So that's fair. I'll take that. And Anissa does help Invincible kill this giant squid thing like that instantly, which I love it. And of course, they go toe-to-toe. And I love how Cecil's in the background going, you can't take her on. She's going to kill you. And he's like, nah, I'll take her on. So they go fight out. Of course, Invincible isn't able to fight. Gets his ass absolutely splattered and beaten to no high end of the, like, just constantly. And I, you know, there's only two seasons, but I swear, I think majority of the episodes, if you count all the episodes, he's been beaten and bloodied more times than he's actually, like, had his arm raised, which I feel sorry for Mark. I feel sorry for him. So, again, she tries to reason him, and she tries to get him to submit, and he doesn't take it. And even Cecil tries to get him to submit to a degree, and he's like, nah, I'm not doing it. She gets frustrated, and she leaves. Now, that's the thing. She leaves. She leaves very quickly. And then after that, we see Amber try and struggle with what's going on. She's about to be murdered. She's about to be killed. She just had this, you know, this monster grab her by the neck and about to smash her like a twig. So we get a nice moment with her and Amber trying to deal with all that and what's going to happen next. Now, as they're trying to deal with that, Mark's on the rooftop. He's feeling everything. He gets a call from Angstorm, which we saw at the end of the last episode, give him a call and say, when are you going to be home? Because I'm currently with your mother and your half-brother. And that's how the episode ends. We also do get Alan the Alien, who does find Nissa on the way back. And it's interesting. He, whatever happened to him, he's super sane. His sane abilities of dying and being a lot stronger, he can take on the Viltrumites a lot easier now. And he does notice. He's like, this was a lot harder. So he pretends to get his ass kicked, and they're going to take him on the ship. This same ship is what Omni-Man is on it as well. So he's very curious to know what's going to happen. We've got one more episode. We've got the big bad that's been leading into this, going into this last episode. Alan is on the same ship as Omni-Man. Amber and Mark's relationship is a little bit struggled. Rex is still trying to get back on his feet with everything. So how much this last episode is going to contain is very interesting. But again, the writing, the intensity, these slow moments, this is why I love Invincible. And how bloody and how brutal it is too when they do have the fight scene is just excellent. So again, it's one of the shows that if you haven't watched it, you're still on the fence, I'm telling you, give it a go. Especially the first episode of season one. If you don't get hooked in from that first episode of season one, you don't bother going all the way. But that first episode should just be like, okay, shit, I'm in. I need to know more. There's so many questions going on right now. And I'd say three quarters of those questions have been answered. There's still so many right now, still to go. Going into this. So it just sucks that this week's last episode. And then hopefully, I'm really hoping, really going for the fact that the last episode, season three, will drop this year. I mean, it doesn't annoy me, it doesn't give a shit, as long as we get season three this year, and if it is broken into two parts. That's the part that annoys me the most, when it's broken up like that. So, #Invincible, #Fantastic. Loved it. I love these little nitpicks about like the season two animation. Loved it. And you do feel for Amber going on, and you do feel Donald as well, and how many times he's died, and you're like, oh, I feel you. I feel you. Also, I forgot to mention with Rick too. Rick, yeah, he was about to kill himself because of everything that happened to St. Clair. Little tidbit, which I didn't know until after the episode came out. So Sinclair, who appeared in the last season, he was the guy that chopped up all the jocks and turned into cyborg men. He was actually voiced by Isla Miller. He's been recast. Isla Miller is not in this season at all, so don't you worry. He is not in it. That was no shock there. I don't even know whatever project Isla Miller is in next, because he's definitely not the Flash. That is for sure. But I want to know, what do you think about Invincible? Are you still with us, or are you like, nah, I'm out, I'm done, I'm just waiting for the boys or something like that? Love to know. And again, I would love if Marvel made a show in the Marvel Universe like Invincible and just as brutal, just as intense. But look, right now we've got X-Men 97, and that's been an absolute winner. All right, so let's get into the big, the bad, the monsters, the monster mash. I have to do the monster mash. That's terrible. That's very terribly. Godzilla, X-Kong, A New Empire. It's funny because right when I was about to get in the theater and about to watch this, as soon as I saw Godzilla, X-Kong, I was like, that just reminds me of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. And I even said to my friend, I was like, oh, yeah, look, Godzilla, X-Kong, Dawn Dawn of the Monsters or some Justice or something. I said like that. I'm like, that's the first thing that made me think of it. So Godzilla X Kong, this film is the fifth movie in this monsterverse. So that we got with Godzilla, Kong Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and we've got the other King Kong movie. And then we got this with the two TV shows, Monarch and Skull Island. Now, this is actually the first, I've watched the first Godzilla, and I really didn't like that. I really didn't like how you didn't see Godzilla much at all. So I haven't gone back since then. I probably should watch Skull Island, because I think 3/4 of the cast are all from the MCU. So I should definitely watch that. But yeah, we get this. Now, this film is kind of right now the seventh highest grossing movie of this year, obviously behind Kung Fu Panda, Dune. Out of all the films this year, I have to say the one I keep thinking that will top Dune for the third number one spot is Deadpool 3. That's, to me, that's like the next major movie release. Like, yes, Furiosa. Yes, there's Beetlejuice. Yes, there's Alien Romulus. But big movie, everyone's looking forward to release. Deadpool 3, I have no doubt, will be the highest grossing movie of this year. And you can take that to the bank. So currently right now, Godzilla vs. Kong, that's still going through its run. So it might go up to fifth. It might go up to fourth. Very interesting to see, because right now it had a budget of $135 million. It's made $196 million at the box office. It is killing it, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely killing it. Now, this film is set a few years after the last one with the big fight with Mega Godzilla, with Godzilla on top of the Earth, fighting all the Titans, protecting the Earth, while Kong is down below in Hollow Earth. Now, they keep it separate and all like that. Visually, the CGI in this movie is fantastic. Now, it's fantastic. It's crisp. I love it. The action in this is impeccable. But there is so many plot points that you're just like, oh, that's awfully convenient. That happened. Or they just happen to have this. You don't watch this film for the humans at all. If you're looking for a film with plot, depth, and, you know, heartfelt moments between humans, this isn't the film for you. This isn't a film for you straight away. This is a monster match. You are going for one thing only. Monsters, King Kong, Godzilla, all-out war. That is what you want. So I saw a couple of comments mentioning about, oh, you know, there was enough humans, all the, you know, heartfelt moments. Why are you walking into the theater for that? Why are you going, oh, I really can't wait to see what the lead characters do in this film. The lead characters are Godzilla and Kong. They're the leads. You know, I really wish some of the early Transformers movies took that also initiative, the fact that you're not here for the bloody humans, you're here for the monsters. So not only do we have Godzilla and Kong, we also introduced to a brand new one called Scar, which we find out that he wants bound Godzilla and he wants to take over Earth all together. And he's living deep, 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 deep into Hollow Earth, which Kong does discover him, because Kong is trying to find his own people in this world. Now we see the Monarch team. They're all returning cast from the last film. They all come back into this. And what's really sparked everything is that Hollow Earth seems to be sending out this signal. This weird, weird signal that's going out. Godzilla can feel it to the point where he goes to fight other Titans to get more powerful, and Godzilla discovers Scar. So it happens because the people, how can I describe this? They find a city full of ancient people. Ancient people that, you know, protect the land, and they know all the Titans and all the monsters, and are very old school. You know, they don't speak any English, but they are one with the planet, and the whole Earth is actually sending out the message, because they know that Scar is going to come back and they're going to try and take over, and he will if Godzilla and King Kong don't team up. So, of course, Godzilla, so Kong goes to attack Scar because of what's happening. He wants to, he starts being a dick. He nearly beats Scar until he finds out Scar has another Titan that he's actually controlling, that he can, that is like Elsa, if she was a monster, can freeze everything. He controls that with a diamond that can, that causes pain, so he can take over the monster to get the monster to do whatever they want. So that leads into a battle. Unfortunately, Kong doesn't win this one, also gets frostbite. But of course, how convenient that they happen to have a new glove, a gold glove, a Thanos glove that can help Godzilla with his frostbite, and happen to have the chemicals inside of it to perfectly help him, to give him the extra strength to fight on. That was one of the plot points I was looking, going, how convenient. How convenient you have that. That you have this armor glove that makes you feel better. Now, with that going on, Godzilla finds the other people, where the humans are all Trapper, all of them, they do find, and well, guys, doesn't get eaten by a plant very quickly. Like, oh my god, this plant, like, yeah, if you're going into a place called Hollow Earth, of course everything's going to try and kill you. Everything is going to kill you. Now, of course, they do have the small plot point of Jai, the little girl that doesn't fit in with everywhere, but she feels the whole earth calling for her, and they find out that she has a purpose in all this, to bring back the Mother Titan to help with this giant battle, which turns into a massive battle, of course, on both in Hollow Earth, and then we get another battle on Earth between, with Godzilla teaming up with Kong, trying to battle Scar. Now, of course, this monster, which I'm trying to remember the name, Shimu's ice powers, because apparently Shimu was the reason for the last, I was going to say Frozen Empire, and you're going to know why. Apparently, the last ice age for the world, which he does try to create. And it's funny because I was watching, going, huh. I watched this, and I watched Ghostbusters Empire, and how have I watched two films with two different plots that seem still a bit about a frozen empire or frozen ice age that's going to take over the planet with two monsters that have the same ability, but who knew that Godzilla and King Kong has so much in common with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I'm not joking. This is legit the plot. So, in a nice battle, Kong also does make a friend with a very small little gorilla that is a little bit of a dick to him at the start, makes a big friend. They have on the battle. They get up. They kill Scar. They get one up. They kill Scar by freezing him because they break the ice. Sorry, break the diamond. That's controlling Shimu, and all is well. So Godzilla protects Earth. Kong goes back to Hollow Earth and becomes king with the other gorillas that were part of Scar's clan, if you will. So the soundtrack is good, the action's good, and it's just, yeah, you just sit through it. Some of the plot points, I said, like, filter through. Don't worry about all of that finer detail and all that, but it's a good monster film to watch and turn your mind off. This isn't like a Dune, this isn't like Inception, nothing like that. This is Saturday night, chucking on a flick and watching something big and on a big scale and watching it. I'm just happy the fact that the CGI was good. Now, I originally wasn't going to see this. It was one of my friends, Mark from Mark My Words, who actually pushed it. Let's go see it. I was like, okay, let's go see it. I'm glad I did, because at the end of it, I was like, that was actually pretty good. We all said it. 1 out of 10. I give it a 7. A modest 7. Because it's not something like you're like, wow, that was incredible. That was amazing. Whoa. It's more just like, this was cool. This was great. But that was not mind-blowing and trailblazing. It's not like that type of level as you go that you're going into this. Are they going to make another one? I have no doubt. I'm very curious now what they're going to do with Siegel, where they're going to take these monsters, what's going to be the next big bad for Godzilla vs. Kong? Because you've just versed Scar where they teamed up. You've versed Mechagodzilla. How are they going to take this? But so far, interesting enough, you look at the Rotten Tomatoes and the audience reaction is a lot higher. It's been higher for every single film. So I have no doubt this film is going to keep making a shit ton of money and it's going to go even higher. But if you are looking for a good flick to take the family, that's not too gruesome, nothing like that, I highly recommend this. This was a good time, a lot of laughs at some of the plot points and the soundtrack. So it's just a feel-good movie that you just watch. Like, I'm just here to see monster versus monster. And that's all. That's all you need to worry about going into this. But again, I would love to know what you all think of the film. What'd you like? What do you want to see in the next one? Or did you find it boring? Did you find it boring and just didn't make a sense and was just too quick? This film does go for 2 hours. But I would love to know what do you think of the film and how you go. But this film does a really good job of making you feel like that. So again, I'd love to know. And look, I would like to thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you for always tuning in every single week. And as always, until next time, we know what comes up next. Happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.